Hello, everybody. Another normal day in Norwich City history. One that I don't think me and Connor expected on our days off to be loading up a live at 12:30 on a Tuesday. But here we are. Norwich City have dismissed Johannesov Torup. Also, Glenn Riddersholm departs alongside him. Jack Wilshere will take charge alongside Tony Roberts and Nick Stanley for the final two championship games this season. So the summer's going to bring another potential rebuild, a new manager, loads of players out of contract. Obviously, got all the players that might depart, players that might arrive. So it's all kind of feels a little bit back to square one. Connor, I suppose before I sort of maybe delve into the sort of decision and maybe the reasons around it, what's your sort of overriding reaction sitting here? Well, less than what, not even 24 hours on from that defeat at Millwall.
Yeah, a real mix, I think. Clearly, it's difficult when you go on the run that Norwich City have had, one win in 10, six defeats in 10 for any head coach in any circumstances at any club to survive a run of form like that, particularly when, you know, and I think we've said this over the last few weeks, it's been pretty obvious that a lot of those players in that dressing room have not been giving their all, have not been playing in the way that you would expect or true to their capabilities or their abilities, that we know some of them. And that's really disappointing. And when that's the case, when the players get to that stage and when it is so obvious, and, you know, I'm always a bit loath to use terms like loss of the dressing room or players downing tools or not playing for him, but it's difficult to watch what we saw yesterday at Millwall, difficult to say what we saw at Plymouth, difficult to say what we saw at Carrow Road against Portsmouth and come to any other conclusion than that being the case, really. And, you know, I spoke to Josh Sargent yesterday. Obviously, some of that interview is outdated. A lot of it is still relevant. And I asked him a few questions, actually. One was on Johannesov Torup. And throughout the interview, and I'm sure people will have heard sort of the Radio Norfolk calf played out live. Obviously, I've got some sort of stuff that I haven't used yet. But what was almost told a story for me was, you know, just how long some of the pauses were to some of his answers where, you know, I asked him a very straight question. Is this a playing group that's still together? Very long pause. I asked him about Johannes and fans would say that it's a team that looks like, you know, they're not playing for a head coach. There was a pause again. And for me, really, I think in the last few weeks, I've seen a head coach that maybe has been slightly more erratic with styles of play, one that has chased results, one that has kind of abandoned what he did so well at early portions of the season and what gave a lot of people that buy-in. So when I look at that body of evidence, you can understand it. The flip side of that, I guess, is, you know, that this is a guy that Norwich City identified way beyond last summer prior to him arriving. They put a lot of stock in him, a lot of investment in him as an individual to lead what they were trying to do. There's been some very good stuff. There's been some really poor stuff. I think clearly the out of possession, lack of improvement in that regard has been a really big red flag throughout the campaign. But I think we have seen flashes of him. I thought he communicated well. He was open with supporters. He was, from our perspective, not that means much or doesn't. I found him really interesting and insightful to listen to. I still think he's got a big career as a coach in the game. And I think it's hard to feel, certainly from my perspective sitting here today, and I said this probably on my verdict and I said it in other places as well, I'm not sure that sacking a head coach is the sort of golden bullet solution that maybe everyone thinks it is. I think in football, we lurch too quickly to two solutions to every problem. You either sack a head coach or sign new players. And, you know, my view was, and I said this again on my verdict yesterday, Norwich were in a position where they either needed to sack the coach or, you know, change a lot of those players. And, you know, they've opted for sacking the coach. That to me feels like a surprise, given how much of this season has been spent talking about the long term, recruiting for the long term, recruiting players to play in the way that Johannes wants to do. Now, the way that the strategy is set up, it shouldn't be dictated on a head coach. It should be the sporting director that provides that continuity. But it's a big call from Ben Napper. And, you know, as we understand it, it was Ben Napper's call. It hasn't come from the ownership. It hasn't come from any other places. This is purely based on Ben Napper and I'm sure communication with senior players as well. And, you know, I've heard sort of some private rumblings that, you know, maybe the and it's, again, not a huge revelation that maybe that camp hasn't been the happiest in recent weeks. So it's a massive call. It's, you know, I think if I was a Norwich fan reading that news, genuine wow factor to it. And I think it's probably something that, none of us expected. And obviously Jack Wilshere put an interim charge, that is, and I can see it already, the line that the Nationals are running with, to the extent where I got a notification on my phone saying that Jack Wilshere had been put in interim charge and Yohannes Ofstorp's name wasn't even mentioned. So we're going to now have a few weeks of this being Jack Wilshere's Norwich City. But it's a huge, huge call from Ben Napper. And he's put a lot of pressure on himself, to be honest. And yeah, I'm not sure that as a step, I'm not sure it was a step that, you know, and there's no denying for all the body of evidence that I said that Yohannes Ofstorp was one of the problems. I don't think he was the problem or the complete problem. And yeah, it's going to be absolutely fascinating to see where Norwich City go from here. And it's what we're now looking at, Norwich City's fifth head coach in what was it, Adam, 5 years, 4 years? Yeah, it's a remarkable place to be. And obviously, not that anyone should feel sorry for us, but we were both on a day off today, so not ideal timing.
No, exactly that. I suppose, and you sort of mentioned there the recent results and the recent performances, I suppose, would Yohannes Ofstorp have had any rumblings or expectations, I suppose, that this could have been a situation that unfolded? You know, you kind of look back to when he arrived and it was very much a project. You know, this season was kind of going to be a transitional one. You need to get the buy-in. I think we probably both felt that it was going to be a bit of a rocky ride and there would be high points and low points. And that's kind of been the way it's played out. However, there is an argument that, you know, the form over the course of certainly since sort of February time has been nowhere near good enough. I think 2 wins in 14 now. It's, you know, is for a club like Norwich City in the Championship with the outlay they've probably put on individuals and some of the players they've still got on their books. I mean, they've got two of the sort of top goal scorers in the Championship, you know, up till Pirot yesterday scoring his 4 goals and Brownhill adding a couple of goals. They did sort of have the top two. So I suppose, is there an understanding maybe within that sense that it is the right decision for a change? But obviously, as you outlined there, you know, the performances clearly haven't been good enough over the sort of recent months.
No, the performances have been hugely concerning. I think if there were more than 2 games to play in the season, we are looking at a team that could go down the way they're playing. And I don't think it's, you know, that's not overstating that at all, because they were that bad and they were playing that badly. And, you know, 5-3 against Portsmouth, that flattered Norwich. 3-1 yesterday, that flattered Norwich. And the performances have been really poor. I do think, and I said this on Verdicts and I've said it in other places, if I was a player in that dressing room, I would feel incredibly ashamed and disappointed that this is the way it's ended. Because I think we've seen really senior players in that dressing room let down Yohannes Ofstorp and his coaching team. You know, and we can get into and we can discuss, and you're right, the performances haven't been great. There's been tactical issues. They've been all over the place. They've looked confused in recent weeks. They've chased results. I think almost probably the biggest concern for him was less about results and more about the abandonment of the style of play. And, you know, West Brom, I think, is a really interesting one because Norwich won that game. And I was probably sat there feeling like, and I said this, you know, under David Wagner, I've said it under other head coaches as well, when a head coach abandons their style of play in pursuit of results, it's the end. You haven't really got anywhere to go after that. And if I was a player in that dressing room after that West Brom game, irrespective of a win, I'd be going, well, look, if you don't believe in it, how the hell am I supposed to believe in it? Or this guy next to me supposed to believe in it? And that, I think, is some of the problem. Look, he's a young coach. He made mistakes, and he's paid for those mistakes for his job. And I think it's fascinating because I personally felt, and this is the way I felt they were going to go until this morning when we started getting whispers that this was going to be the case, that that they would double down, that they would back him, that they would change a lot of the group. And, you know, in truth, I think what maybe the conclusion Napa has come to is that it's not just this group of players that needs to change. It's clearly the coach that needs to change. And he clearly will have had more access to training and maybe the mood in general around the place amongst those senior players. I'm sure he will have held meetings in the last 10-12 hours with those senior players about making this decision. And you know, it's a shame it hasn't worked out, because I think everyone probably of an Norwich City persuasion, fans, I certainly felt, speaking to fans, you know, a lot of my family, a lot of people who live in my house are Norwich City fans, speaking to those people on a daily basis, there was a real want and a real hunger and a real desire for Yohannes Ofstorp to do well, to be the person that built something at Norwich City. And this season, as you say, look, I predicted Norwich to finish 13th at the start of the season. I expected the season would be transitional, if you want to use that buzzword, or inconsistent. And what you have to do, if that's the case, is you have to win enough games. You have to show enough progress. And there have been good points this season. There's been good results. And when Norwich City have played like that, they have looked a team worthy of being in the top four in the Championship. The problem is, in recent weeks, they've looked like that 08-09 team that went down to League One. They've looked despondent. They've looked, terrible. And when you've got 2,600 fans at Millwall chanting at the players, they're not fit to wear the shirt. It's difficult to see how it ends in any other solution than this. And, you know, it's not just Johannes Hovtorup. It's not just Glenn Riddersholm. It's not just Jack Wilshere. It's not just Nick Stanley. It's not just Tony Roberts. It's the players as well. And if I was a player in that dressing room, I would be feeling very, very ashamed, really, probably, of my performances, particularly if I'm one of those senior players in recent weeks. Because I think even if they did want Johannes Hovtorup out, and I'm sure some of them have now got their wish, it's about representing a football club that's put a lot of faith in them, some of them over a number of years. And that, I think, is probably what I feel is most disappointing. And, you know, clearly Johannes Hovtorup had his deficiencies. We've seen them this season. This squad has plenty of them as well. And the change, if we're going to be talking about that again this summer, and it's now going to be a summer of change again, Norwich City are going to need a new head coach, then I think that cannot start and stop with a head coach. It cannot start and stop with a dressing room. It needs to continue. That broom needs to continue to sweep through the squad, I think, because we've seen this season players not perform well enough. And some of that as well, obviously, is at Ben Napper's door with his recruitment. It's a staggering decision. It's a surprising decision. And it's a massive call, and one that probably shows, above all else, that Ben Napper and maybe the Attanasio group as well, who, even if they weren't involved in this decision, will clearly have been made aware and clearly have brought into the room on it, that will have backed, shows, I guess, that they mean business, and they're not happy for Norwich City to hover in and around mid-table and show no signs of progress. And it's interesting sort of skim reading some of the comments coming through and the reaction to it. I'll bowl that to you, Adam. What are your thoughts sat here? What, an hour, less than an hour or so since that news broke?
I mean, I've kind of, certainly felt the view all season. And I know some people probably would feel the same, that this season was kind of, not without judgment. You know, I don't think that's fair. But I also feel, to an extent, that, you know, it was going to be transitional. There was going to be high points, low points. It was going to be about development of young players and trying to see sort of some of the players they obviously outlaid big money for in the summer start to come to fruition and sort of put their head above the parapet, I suppose, and start to show their quality. Have we seen enough of that from some of those? Probably not. I think certainly a play style that was defined and clear and an identity that was very much outlined, that, you know, I go back to when Tot was unveiled, you know, and kind of the sort of pragmatism and the way he was going to play and everything that was going to be about, you know, Norwich City. They were going to be this team, and that's going to the way they were going to play regardless of where they went. And certainly over the last sort of month and a half, you know, you go back to sort of that West Brom game where they managed to get a gritty win, but not in the sort of manner that we've been used to at Carrow Road over the course of the season. Some of the recent away games, you know, the sort of switches to five at the back. I mean, that Burnley team for me was nowhere near what I would want to see on a football pitch from Norwich City in the Championship. I think, you know, they should be going head to head with everyone really and trying to be competitive and have that defined style, which is, you know, definitely dwindled. And I think, you know, as we sort of said at the outset and maybe at different other points this season, if you kind of flip the season in reverse and it was going to be that kind of start to the campaign that they've had at the moment, then I think that would have been fair. You then go back to the back end of the season, they maybe have to show the Hull performance and they show the Plymouth performance and all these other ones at home earlier in the season, then I think, you know, fans are going to be on board and excited for the summer. However, I also feel that heading into this summer, that feels big, because there is probably a big opportunity now. You kind of look at the players out of contract, the players that will depart. It is a bit of a clearing of the decks. It is kind of an opportunity to suppose have a fresh start. And the problem is, if Napper and maybe those in the group at the moment, it will be for the long haul, don't feel that Johannes Hovtorup is the man to lead them forward, then I think that's a dangerous situation to go into this summer, invest heavily again and back in him. And then if you get to the start of next season, it doesn't work out and they sack him a month into the season, then you kind of appointing someone with a group that's not his and not having a playing style and a pre-season to work with him. And I think then that does become quite challenging. So I suppose maybe, Conor, is that where your head's at in terms of Ben Napper? Has he made that decision looking ahead into the summer? Does he not feel that Torp's the man to back this summer moving into next season, I suppose?
Well, that's the only conclusion that we can reach, that he has seen enough, that he doesn't feel that Johannes Hovtorup is the person capable to bring this forward. And what I would say is, I think when you put your faith in a coach, if you're a sporting director and you're not 100% aligned, you're not 100% in belief that he is the person that that can progress it, can make it better, does hold the answers, and his style of play is one that's capable of ensuring that Norwich City compete at the top end of the Championship, then you have to make that change, irrespective of whether it's seen as knee-jerk or you, it means that you have to kind of swallow your pride behind someone that you identified. And for me, and this is where I think there is evidence against Johannes Hoftorup, and this maybe is where it's you know, overwhelmed. And I've said it all season, really, that you think about how easy it's been to score against Norwich City this year, that out of possession stuff that we've seen. I think Norwich have shown some really interesting tactical stuff in possession, attacking wise, not been an issue. They've been really good going forward. They've blown teams away at points, but I think when you have a coach that maybe shows so little sign of adaptation, that you know, is unable maybe to solve some of those off the pitch, off the ball sort of kind of situations. And, you know, you are basically one of, if not the worst team in the league out of possession. It doesn't matter how good you are in possession. It doesn't matter about style of play or your patterns of play. I think this season, Norwich City's rest defence hasn't been good enough. I think that their sort of ability to withhold against adversity, barring maybe Luton away, Watford away, West Brom at home, hasn't been enough. And maybe those results in isolation were down to luck. You think about that Watford game in particular, Watford were down to 10 and Norwich were clinging on. I think it's a really interesting one, but it's clearly a massive call for Ben Napper, and he has to get the next appointment right, because I think as a sporting director, particularly one that's in kind of the infancy of his career and hasn't been a sporting director elsewhere, this is now two head coaches he's sacked, albeit David Wagner wasn't his appointment. So I think you can maybe cut him some slack on that one, albeit I know that people will raise a point that Norwich were in the playoffs when they sacked David Wagner, and look at them now. What it shows that you can maybe afford to get one wrong as a sporting director. You can't afford to get two wrong. If you get two wrong, you're in trouble. This appointment is crucial for not just the future of Norwich City and their direction of travel. It's huge for him and the view of him, because there will be people out there looking at Ben Napper and saying, look, you went through a process, you identified this guy, you hired this guy, you put a lot of trust in this guy, you backed this guy with signings and recruitment, and now you've decided two games out, 44 games into a Championship season, that he's not the guy that is the right one, that's not the guy that is going to lead you into the next era of Norwich City. There will be people looking at that and questioning now his ability to continue with a strategy that he has kind of set sail off and embarked on and hasn't really performed. So it's a huge decision. It's a big moment. I keep saying it. And it feels like a really big moment for Norwich City. This appointment has to be 100% right. And as I said, I don't think it can be the end of the change. It has to be head coach, and now it has to be this group of players as well that needs dismantling, that needs restructuring, that needs changing, because you know, Norwich simply cannot afford to have a season like they've had this year. Because you know what we're going to have now, another transition season. People aren't going to accept that. They're not. And you know, it's a really interesting one. And obviously the element we haven't talked about is Jack Wilshere. And obviously he's now got an audition, essentially, whether he will see it that way. And we know he wants to be a head coach. I spoke to him in February. He reiterated that desire. And there's going to be a lot of attention on him nationally and from elsewhere because of the huge name that he was in football. He's got two games to try and stake his claim. It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, you mentioned Ben Napper a few times there. I suppose how big is the communication from him maybe going to be in the leading weeks? Because it feels, you know, that he obviously outlined the vision when he unveiled Johannes Hoftorup, and, you know, was very clear that this was going to be a club moving in a certain direction. It needed buy-in from the fans. You know, obviously had that media round of interviews in February where it was pretty clear to me that, you know, he was still backing Johannes Hoftorup, and it was all about next season. It was all about the project. It was all about, you know, trying to get this football club back to the Premier League and hopefully in a healthier state to try and compete up there. Albeit, you know, I think we know that sort of state of football these days and sort of the modern landscape and how difficult it is to do that. However, this decision obviously is inevitably going to bring heat on him, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on this next appointment, as you outlined. So I suppose, does he need to almost put his head above the parapet, come out and try and communicate with these fans? Because quite clearly, you know, they're going to be sort of waking up this morning and sort of, you know, getting on with their early mornings and then seeing this news break and a little bit confused, and probably a little bit confused as to, I suppose, why and his decision making based on this. So it's one that probably does need a bit of clarification.
Yeah, I agree. I think he does need to come out and speak. I think that's important. And probably, you know, and I think we're not breaking any confidences. We spoke to people at the club yesterday, and I think there is an acceptance that the way this season ends now, it probably will involve people coming out in the summer and showing that maybe what we've seen this season hasn't been acceptable. And I think that probably does now need to be. I wouldn't necessarily have said before that it was Ben Napper that needed to speak. I probably would have felt it was more maybe a Mark Attanasio that needed to come out and speak ahead of the summer. But now, after this decision, I think it's impossible to see how Ben Napper doesn't come out. And clearly, when they hire a new head coach, he will be at that press conference. He will be available to take questions. So whether he does do it before then, I think he probably now does need to sit down before the start of the season and map out exactly why this decision was made, where he sees the future, what the next appointment looks like, and the direction that Norwich City are going to go on, as well as clearly perhaps some of those recruitment questions, which I think are a fair game at this point. You know, you look at someone like Jose Cordoba, who at the start of the season started really brightly, and probably similarly like Norwich has regressed. Clearly there's been disciplinary issues within the squad as well, and I think it's just, you know, we know Ben Napper, we know how he took the David Wagner decision. He is very calculated, he is very considered, he is not somebody that is knee-jerk, that acts off, you know, one bad result, two bad results, maybe even 3, 4, 5, 10 potentially from a Norwich perspective. This will have been a very calculated, very methodological process, and he's got to come out now and face up and explain, I think. And it's going to be really interesting to see what his answers will be and what his answers are, because I think this end of the season now has taken on a completely different look to what we anticipated. And, you know, one thing it will do, you think, is probably spark some type of reaction now at Middlesbrough. And it's going to be, as we said, Jack Wilshere in charge. I'm sure we'll come on and speak about him in a bit more detail. But yeah, I think you're right. It is now going to be Ben Napper who is going to be culpable and is going to be responsible. And yeah, it's fascinating. It's a fascinating decision. The politics of it are fascinating, the ramifications of it are fascinating, and the next steps also are fascinating. And I am intrigued to see where they go, what direction they go. There's clearly a very obvious candidate, I think, who's out of work, who has Norwich links, that I suspect, when I haven't seen any bookies odds at the moment, because last time I checked before we came on here, they hadn't been published, but I'd be shocked if Russell Martin wasn't at the top of every single one. I'm sure that he would want the job as well. I'm absolutely certain that he would want the job, given his connections with Norwich City. So yeah, all of this feels very feels very interesting. Do they go down that route? Do they not? I know you've got Paddy in the waiting room. People will be wanting to hear from him. So let's bring him in, and I'll be quiet for a little while.
Boys, what's going on? What's going on here? What, I just saw there's a brief...
Honestly, we leave you the keys and the house for one day and you burn the place down.
No. I've just been up to Aldi. I've just got some shopping and I've come home and all hell's broken loose. So I don't know what's going on. But I'll see you on the ticket. It says Norwich have dismissed Johannes off Torrum. Who'd have thunk it? But bizarre. I mean, I've got to be honest, I might have been speaking to one or two individuals, so I've not heard what you boys have discussed so far, but I'm sure you've already touched on, you know, it's a very decisive move from Ben Napper, that is for sure. And the speed of it as well is, would underline how quickly this has escalated, because there was no sense. We were all there at Millwall yesterday evening. I was thinking about this post the news, and, you know, the parallel with the Farker one and Brentford, where we're in the ground and more or less tapped on the shoulder and said, maybe, lads, you should hang about for a little while, because it's not, the story isn't going to be as it was then, the first Premier League win of that season for that head coach. It was, you're on your bike. And obviously at Millwall, there was none of that. And I certainly wasn't expecting the events that have played out now. But as I say, I've spoken to one or two people, and I think the first thing I would say, the sense is that it's results in the short term. It's the results. And what could have happened if, hypothetically, you know, there was 5 or 6 games left to go, because the direction of travel is Norwich would have been in a full-on relegation scrap, because 3 wins in 14, 1 win in 10, however you dice it. Obviously, that isn't the case because there's only 2 games left and they can't be caught. But the way it was going was very regressive. That clearly has focused minds at ownership level and executive level. Apparently, they're also a little bit of a concern that, clearly, look at the players. who has improved in terms of coaching, Johannes Glenn and the team around him? Who are they really improved? And obviously, the obvious one for me is maybe Kellen Fisher. He is clearly, under Johannes' stewardship, improved. He's got more exposure. But beyond that, and that bleeds maybe into the signings, you know, are there any players that you could actually say now, 40 games into Johannes' tenure, he'd improved? So that clearly was a concern, I think, higher up the food chain. And just put those two together, they go into a summer where Johannes and Glenn would have had a lot of input in terms of the signings alongside Ben and the recruitment team. And if the results had continued, or the performance levels had continued at the start of next season, you're probably faced as a ownership and a sporting director with a choice that you've got to effectively dismiss a guy who's really had a hand in bringing in a lot of those players that have only just come into the building. So I think that explains the speed of this now, why they decided to move that way. Millwall was obviously a tipping point. You know, we saw the fan reaction more broadly, but it was also that rather ugly incident in the first half where the fans got out of that away end and was making a beeline to the subs warming up, but was apprehended and taken away. None of that can be condoned, but the frustration tipping to anger for many fans, and that was again visible at full-time whistle. So I think off the back of that, there was calls to the Americans last night. Mark Attanasio and Richard Ressler, the two main movers and shakers in Norfolk Holdings. Further calls this morning, and basically an agreement that, and this to reiterate, is a Ben Napper call. This isn't Mark Attanasio and Norfolk Holdings have more or less exercised their might and told Ben Napper that Johannes has to go. This is Ben Napper's call. He's had it cleared from the American end. Zoe Webber's obviously in this process as well. They're the figureheads this side of the pond. They're trusted to run that club, both the football side, the financial side, and their decision has been backed by the Americans. And then the process from there was Glenn and Johannes were called in this morning, informed of the decision. Then Jack, Tony and Nick, they'd be taking it on. And then finally the players. And that's where we're at. There won't be any, you know, talking from Ben Napper or Zoe Webber or the Americans this period. I think there is an expectation Ben will clearly now have to do something. I think he was of a mind to do something at the end of the season anyway. That was our sense, wasn't it? But certainly won't be anything imminent. And it will be absolutely guaranteed Jack Wiltshire in charge of these two games. It's not that they've announced that and then they're overtaken by events. It will be no, Jack Wiltshire, these two games, in charge. And he will speak to the media later in the week ahead of the trip to Middlesbrough, where I'm sure he will be asked about his own aspirations to be Norwich's permanent head coach, because he's made no secret. You spoke to him, Connor, at the Nest. Yep. Not all that long ago, he clearly sees himself as a head coach, maybe not as early as this, but he's now got a bit of a dress rehearsal, as it were, in these final two games. So that's where we're at. And a very fast-paced, moving process, but one very much driven by Ben Napper. And, you know, I think we'd all agree, us in the media, and I know at the moment there was a lot of frustration being directed towards Johannes, but as a guy, him and Glenn, you know, what they were trying to do, the cultural shift, trying to buy into what being involved with Norwich and Norfolk more broadly was all about, you know, as guys on a human level, you're sad to see it, but you can't argue it is. I think Hooks has tweeted already, it's a results-driven business. It's never the players who get the can. It's always the head coach and, in this case, his assistant. So, you know, sad to see them go on a personal level, but, you know, I wouldn't disagree. Have they improved, these players, in terms of coaching? Are we seeing the same residual issues in terms of on the pitch and performance levels? Yes. Are the results tanking? Yes. Could they afford to allow that to continue into the start of next season? No. And I think the tipping point is they're going into a very big summer transfer window-wise, and they obviously want that to be with a head coach in place who they know is going to be in there for the mid to longer term.
Yeah, before we dip into some comments and maybe talk about what's next and Jack Wiltshire a little bit more, Paddy, I did sort of ask Connor about Ben Napper, maybe sort of is the pressure on him in terms of the new appointment. Obviously, clearly when he appointed Johannes Hoftorp, it was all about the long term. It was about the project. It was about this season being a little bit transitional, but next season, you know, they need to kick on and try and be in the promotion shake-up. Obviously, you look at kind of the recruitment, it was all around Johannes Hoftorp. This summer, obviously, would have been backing him again, and had we got a month into next season and things weren't going correct, then have to pull the trigger, it probably would have booked a little bit backwards. So I suppose how much pressure is this next appointment in terms of him and trying to get it right? Because clearly, you know, he's going to take a lot of the can now for this Johannes Hoftorp era that hasn't really worked out.
Yeah, no, it's a very ballsy call, because what you've asked there, Adam, is, I'm sure, being, you know, amplified across the fan base as well, that he could have almost kept him there for fear that he's now opening himself to those questions. Well, hang on, you fired a guy who you had decided at the end of a very forensic process, not even 12 months ago now, was the perfect fit to go in that new direction that you talked about post David Wagner's departure. Now what you're saying is he's not the perfect fit and he's not the right guy. So straight away, Ben Napper's judgment's in question there. He would know that better than anybody, you know. But that's why he's in that position. It's a very exposed position. You know, ultimately, he will carry the can because he is in that pyramid that I talked about earlier. He's at the very top on the football side. And, you know, he has to placate the fan base, but also the ownership as well. And it's a very difficult tightrope that he's got to walk. But yes, those questions will now be asked of him and his judgment. But equally, he's acted pretty decisively, you know, when he felt this isn't going, rather than, well, I'm going to get flak here if I fire the guy who I said was the perfect appointment, so I'll keep him in place. No, he's decided it clearly isn't going to get better, isn't going to improve. And so on one level, that is a brave call. But having got it wrong, ultimately, with Johannes Ovtcharuk, he certainly can't afford to get another one wrong, that's for sure, because that's how you see clubs lurching from a disaster to a calamity to a God knows what, and down the pyramid. And we just have to look across the Football League more broadly. You see evidence of that short-term thinking, that rat-a-tat-tat of appointments. There's never any, you know, platform put in place or any routes put down to grow something that they're trying to grow in terms of a strategy, which takes a longer-term view, which requires medium to longer-term thinking. None of that is achievable if every 10, 11 months you're firing a head coach. So, yeah, I think he will know that this appointment now, if he doesn't get this one right, then, you know, it's not us saying it. It's not the fan base saying it. Are Mark Attanasio and Norfolk Holdings going to retain enough faith in Ben Napper as their sporting director if, you know, another head coach appointment that he oversees, that he ultimately decides on, and then is backed by the American arm of this club, now fails again? He will know that better than anybody, and that's the challenge for him moving forward. But, you know, what I would say is I'd probably tip more towards, at this stage, yes, you would have to say that's the wrong call now, on the evidence of what we've seen in the period from his appointment last May to firing him today. But it's also brave from Ben Napper as well, and decisive, and quick. You know, there was a lot of talk as we drove back from Millwall last night, and the West Brom news broke about Tony Mowbray, about, come on, Norwich, there's your example. Let's follow suit. And I don't think, certainly I didn't think that was a realistic prospect anytime soon. But, you know, they have acted as decisively as West Brom, and we'll see where both clubs go from this point onwards. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting end to the season now. We all thought it was going to be deck chairs out and on the beach and not a bit of it. So, yeah, I'm quite looking forward to what Jack Wilshere's got to say now later in the week, and, you know, how keen he is to maybe put down a marker. And, of course, you know, inevitably, I don't know if you boys have discussed it and the names getting thrown about, but that's in very short order where we'll get to in this timeline, isn't it? And he will clearly be one of the front-running candidates. I'm sure Russell Martin has been added to the comments. I can't see the comments today, but I'm sure he's a very prominent name that's already featuring. And, you know, maybe even who was the Arsenal lad that was heavily linked last on Cuesta? You know, is he still?
Yeah, although he, I saw recently, has just signed a new, I think, 5-year contract as part of Arteta's backroom team.
Contracts, contracts, they're just bits of paper.
That's true, yeah.
So, maybe we'll discount him. But, certainly Russell Martin, I think, and Jack Wilshere would be the first two names in the frame, I would think, in terms of outside the club and you know, speculatively. But it's another end of season that it sort of leads into quite an important summer. We feel like we're going deja vu Groundhog Day again, aren't we, boys?
We do indeed, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Jack Wilshere and maybe what's ahead for him in the next couple of games. Obviously, me and you were both down at the Nest there, early February time, Colin. We obviously got the opportunity to speak to Jack Wilshere, and I think 30,000 people tuned into that interview. Whether how many of those were Norwich City fans is a different debate altogether. But clearly a very good speaker, clearly got aspirations in the game to go and coach at the highest level, be a first team coach somewhere, got a pedigree of working with Arsenal's under 18s and developed a lot of young talent. You know, you look at the Arsenal team at the moment, Lewis Skelly, Wanyeri, a few of those lads were under his sort of, I suppose, under his wing a little bit. He developed those young players. Norwich have got a young core of players. So I suppose he's got an opportunity now in these next couple of games to, even if it's not at Norwich City, just to try and prove his worth, I suppose, in the game with a couple of championship games.
Absolutely. He's not been backward in coming forward about his managerial ambitions, has he? And I think it's been kind of documented in since he arrived, really, that dynamic and how you've got someone there clearly who's a massive name in football. And we were both at the Nest and you can kind of see jaws drop when he walks into a room. He's got that type of effect and aura about him just from his playing career. And what this will now attract, as we mentioned, is you can guarantee at Colney on Thursday, Wednesday, Friday, whenever he does his pre-match, every single news organisation is going to be there. That is the level of stardom, I guess, that Jack Wilshere brings to any sort of role, even sort of in the background. You know, I've not heard Norwich City fans say, yeah, they've been talking about Nick Stanley, admittedly, but it's not been Glenn Riddersholm, it's not been Tony Roberts, it's been about Jack Wilshere because he is clearly so familiar to people. And yeah, it's a massive opportunity for him. Like you say, whether it is going to end up being as Norwich City's head coach, personally, I think it would be a hell of a call to go from Johannes Hoftorp to Jack Wilshere. But it, you know, maybe that's the school that Ben Napper is in, and this is, as Paddy says, a huge audition for him. Clearly, he's someone that's been in charge of the attacking aspect of the club. That is the element that Norwich have been doing well at, if you want to boil it down as simply as that. But now he's got a chance of being the main man and an opportunity in senior football to try and make a little bit of an impact and to try and, even if it's not results, to motivate a group of players that don't look very motivated, to try and organise a group of players that don't look very organised, and to try and get results from players that, you know, to take Paddy's term, to take the cliché term, is maybe on the beach a little bit and maybe have their heads elsewhere. It's a hell of an opportunity for him to try and come in and just make a little bit of a short-term name for himself. And if he can do that, if Norwich City can win the final two games, and not just win them, but win them by performing very well, he is going to put himself at the top of the list if that's where he wants to be. We'll find out later in the week. I personally would be absolutely shocked if he came out and said, yeah, do you know what? I don't really fancy this job. I think he'll fancy it. I having spoken to him and knowing his aspirations, whether it's early or whether it's not, you know what football's like. It's ruthless. Sometimes opportunities present themselves and you can't turn them down. I'm sure if the situation came in the summer where Ben Napper came to Jack Wilshere on the back of a scenario where he'd won two games and won them quite handsomely, do you want to be head coach in Norwich City? I've struggled to see a world in which Jack Wilshere would say no to that question. So yeah, it's a massive opportunity for him now, and with that is going to come a lot of attention. Norwich fans are going to have to get used to being called Jack Wilshere's Norwich City, and obviously he's got to do it against two people that he knows very well: Michael Carrick on Saturday and Aaron Ramsey on the final day, with all of the Arsenal kind of connotations to that. So yeah, huge for him. I'm sure he is a very respected figure in that dressing room. And I think if you're a player of any standing, really, if Jack Wilshere tells you to do something, you will listen. And certainly, as you say, Adam, his under-18 Arsenal team has produced some excellent talent and maybe done some of that player developing that Norwich City feel haven't been done. So, it's his to lose as things stand. He's in the role as an interim until the end of the season. And if I think we'll find out in the next two games whether or not he's got the capabilities to do it and whether he wants to do it. But you can see why Ben Napper and him know each other, dating back for a while. He's a key reason why Jack Wilshere joined the club in the first place. Would it be my pick? Probably not. I'd like to see them go external. I think I'd like to see them get maybe someone with perhaps a little bit more experience of being a head coach, whether that being championship wise or not. I think championship experience gets a little bit overstated, to be honest. So yeah, it's a big moment for him, and it's going to be an absolutely fascinating couple of weeks, I think.
Indeed, yeah. Do you sort of share the sentiments on Jack Wilshere, Paddy? If he does come and provide two good performances for Norwich on the pitch, does he throw his name in the frame for Norwich's permanent position, I suppose, moving into the summer?
Well, he will do. There's no doubt in that scenario, Adam. But yeah, I mean, like Connor says, how often do you see it? And I don't have stats to hand, but you know, there'll be.
Yeah.
The brutal reality of this is there will be players in that dressing room who are happy at this news. That's the top and bottom of it. And why do I say that? Because look at you know, I don't want to lapse into downing tools and what have you, but look at the output from certain individuals over the second part of this season, you know, that and contrast with how they were performing earlier on in the season. So that's the nature of any workplace, but particularly, you know, something like a football dressing room, that there will be players who will be not unhappy to see him and Glenn depart, you know, not maybe on a human level, but just in terms of football, probably not getting enough opportunities, feel that they should have played more, maybe not happy with one or two ways that the disciplinary issues were addressed. And you can probably think what I'm talking about there. So for that reason, you know, there will be an immediate uptick because it's a different voice, albeit, yes, OK, Jack Welch has been in the group, but it's been Johannes and it's been Glenn, and they've been the main protagonists on a daily basis at Colney. They're ultimately were the senior voices in that coaching group. The fact is now they're not there and Jack Welch is there. I wouldn't at all be surprised now if they go to Middlesbrough and you see a better collective performance. It might not be enough to get a result because Middlesbrough are firmly in that playoff race and they'll be very highly motivated at the Riverside this weekend. But I certainly think you will see a more committed display both there and against Cardiff. And that, you know, as I said to Johannes after Portsmouth, when he was talking about you questioned the desire and the motivation of some players, that to me is a damning indictment. But I've seen already a few comments about the players, you know, maybe some of the players should be walking as well. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not how football works, is it? It's the chief who falls on his sword, effectively. So, yes, it wouldn't surprise me if Jack Wilshere does get a tune out of this group of players and they pick up some decent results and maybe show what they're about a little bit more than they have done in the last 2-3 months. But I still don't think that should then be overly weighted in terms of, right, well, who is going to be the actual permanent head coach moving through into next season to take it forward. I think there are those question marks against his relative inexperience as a senior coach. It's not that long, really, since he embarked on his coaching journey. And it's only since he came to Norwich that he started to work with senior players. Yes, we know all about his reputation in the game and his standing, his status, but that was as a player. This is now his second career in the game. So Ben Knapp will have to weigh all that up, you know, because that would feel a big call. And going back to what we just said, there's a risk element if you appoint Jack Wilshere, just because he is very inexperienced. And can Norwich afford to tip too far that way for what's next? Can Ben Knapper afford to do that, given the Torup experiment hasn't worked in his eyes? So very difficult at the moment. But Jack Wilshere, you know, will back his abilities. As he said to Connor in that chat, he wants to be a head coach. He believes that's where he can get to in the game, and now he has an opportunity. And if he shows in these, albeit very small sample of games, that he can bring something to the party, then, you know, maybe that is enough. We know the relationship between Ben Knapper and Jack Wilshere. You can't understate that, you know, from Arsenal, and it was Jack Wilshere he turned to when they looked for a replacement for Narcis Pelhach. Ben Knapper rates him very highly, of that there is no doubt. It's just a question mark for me is, would it be too soon? You know, and can Norwich afford now, after this season, and the talk of transition and development, when season two and season three were supposed to be, no, we're moving past that. We're now moving into a phase where we will be bona fide top six contenders. If you're dropping into that mix then this summer, a very, very inexperienced head coach again, does that almost elongate the process again and you're having another season of building something? I'm not sure. So that's for Ben Knapper and the people around him to decide. But yeah, there's no doubt, you know, Jack Wilshere will be one of the candidates, I'm sure, both outside the club and inside the club. But what I'd like to hope is that, and I'm sure Ben Knapper wouldn't get carried away by, they go to Borough, they get a result, they go to Cardiff, they beat Cardiff at home, they play well, they score goals, and then everything's rosy in the garden. Because, you know, this season would tell you that I think the problems lie not just with the coach and the head coach and the assistant coach. I think there's a group of players there that, and we already know that was going to happen irrespective of whether, you know, the Danish duo were here or not. This summer is going to be a big one. There's going to be a huge turnover of players in and out of that club again.
Indeed, yeah. Before we maybe dip into what's next and who could potentially be the next man in the Norwich dugout, a few questions coming through. Will saying, where does this leave players like Svartau and Siernats? Also, would Jacob Wright want to stay now? I suppose those players that arrived, Dundee, Hanasov, Torup, Connor, obviously all contracted well beyond, but I suppose they'll be a little bit confused and surprised now, because when they signed, they would have been sort of in the knowledge that this was a longer term project. Andy Hanisov Torup sold the vision under him. So sort of where did that, I suppose, some of those players in that dressing room, particularly the younger players that arrived more recently, sort of stand?
Yeah, well, the answer to that is that is the point of having a sporting director, that they are the conduit, if you like, the continuity, and the head coach does become more expendable, I guess, and to try and retain that continuity. It doesn't mean that the strategy's gone out the window. It doesn't mean the way they want to play has gone out the window. It doesn't mean any of that. Obviously, ultimately, it'll be the next appointment that dictates a lot of that. What we can't have, as Paddy said earlier, is a lurch in a different direction, which I think they've done too often. Basically, post-Farke, you look at all of their managerial appointments and they've all been different styles of managers, different types of managers who all played different styles and wanted to recruit differently. There needs to be a continuity in what we're seeing now. It needs to be someone who plays a similar way, has the same commitment to developing young players, maybe with a greater level of success. And that ultimately will then reassure those players. And look, if Jacob Wright was signing for Johanneshov Torup, then maybe it's a different debate, but he would be signing for Norwich City and he would be buying into the overall long strategy. Norwich City have decided, as they have done with other players and experienced players, that Johanneshov Torup isn't part of what comes next. That doesn't mean that the strategy gets put in the bin and set fire to. In many ways, it means they probably need to double down on it now and believe in it. And it's just about trying to hire a better coach who can do maybe what Johanneshov Torup was trying to do, but do it better, coach it better, improve players more, be a little bit hungrier. I think that is probably the key. And ultimately, the answer will be in the next appointment, because every coach has an opinion. A new one will come in. They will have an opinion on Sienatz, on Schwartau, on all of those players in those dressing room. And, you know, as much as we talk about it's an audition for Jack Wilshere, it's going to be an audition for a hell of a lot of those players now heading into what is a massive summer for Norwich City Football Club in terms of looking for players, but also now looking for a new head coach as well. And that is... what should be motivating all of those players. So yeah, we'll see how it goes, but in theory, and this is just theory, we need to see it now put into practice, because we saw post Farke what happens maybe if you don't retain that continuity and belief in the strategy that you're on, what happens and how quickly you can go away and kind of lose all sense of self. The idea and the theory behind the sporting director model is that it is them that provides the continuity, not an old school manager in the way that we would think. And then suddenly a manager gets sacked, a new one comes in, buys a load of his new players, plays in a completely different style of play, and the whole thing changes again. That shouldn't be the case. If that is the case, then Ben Napper will have failed, really, in terms of what he's trying to achieve here. So yeah, that would be kind of my response to those questions, really. And as with Jacob Wright, I mean, again, we're not breaking confidences. We spoke to people yesterday. I think there's a huge amount of confidence that he will become an Norwich City player in the summer. So let's hope that is the case.
Indeed, yeah. A few other people sort of mentioned, I suppose, players and individuals. Does this change at all, Paddy? How do we sort these players who are out of contract, the likes of Hernandez, Sorensen, Gunn? Does anything change, I suppose? Because Torup would have been part of that probably decision-making alongside Ben Napper, but clearly it's Ben Napper's sort of strategy and the appointment who he's going to bring in next will obviously he'll have a vision for it. So does that change, I suppose, those individuals who are out of contract moving into the summer?
No, I don't know. I mean, to follow on from Connor's point, ultimately, when you have a sporting director model, then the elements of the strategy that are set by the sporting director, that they don't change because the sporting director remains in place. So be it signings, as Connor alluded to there, or in this case, those out of contracts, those decisions have been made. I think they've probably been communicated to the players. I'm sure they will have been by now, because our indication was back end of this week. That might change now, obviously, with today's news, but the certainly at Millwall, that the sense was that maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday, the club would communicate that outwardly that those players are not going to be staying beyond the end of their contracts, which expire this summer. But as I say, now with this detonation today, then they might hang fire on that. I'll have to get some clarity on that, but only in the announcement aspect of it. Just to be clear, I think it makes no difference too, because ultimately, Ben Napper, as he's proven with the decision to relieve Johannes and Glenn of their duties, he has the final say in these matters. I'm sure they would have had as they would have done with new signings, both in the last two windows and going into the summer, the preparatory work that's already been done, they would have had an input. But ultimately, in a sporting director model, it's for Ben Napper to make the decision, as it was with, you know, as I said right at the outset, you know, this decision, this hasn't come from across the pond. This is Ben Napper deciding enough's enough and getting that endorsement from Mark Attanasio and Norfolk Holdings to carry out this managerial change. So, no, alas, if you're a big fan of Onnell, or maybe not such a big fan of Longhi, but you're certainly a big fan of Gunny, then make the most of them while you can, because their time is coming to an end in a Norwich shirt.
Indeed, yeah. A few people asking around maybe the captaincy group and whether Torup had lost that. Ollie Baines saying, do we feel the captaincy group felt like Torup was struggling with the squad? I also saw someone else, I think it's Charlie here. Do you think the senior players had an input as well on this call? So, Connor, in terms of those maybe more experienced senior pros, was, I suppose, any feeling, sort of, I suppose, that those players maybe had lost faith in Johannes Hoftorp? Obviously, we don't know the individuals involved and who maybe will see this as a good decision, who maybe sees it as a bad decision, but maybe the sort of clear signs, I suppose, on the pitch, and I'm not reading into things a little bit, but you know, the fact that Duffy and McLean were pretty quick yesterday to depart the pitch in front of the fans compared to some of the other younger players. So was there a feeling, I suppose, that these sort of more senior players were starting to lose faith in the project?
Yeah, well, I think the performances on the pitch are fairly conclusive on that point. Yes, is the answer. I think based on that, it's always difficult to comment on what behind the scenes looks like. I mean, certainly heard rumblings about kind of maybe there being a little bit of frustration at the amount of meetings there was compared to maybe training and various different things. But all those things are usual at any stage under any head coach, to be honest. And individuals will have felt differently. There will be, as Paddy said, a constituency in that dressing room that will be disappointed today that Johannes Hoftorp has gone. There will be a constituency of players that are over the moon, that are delighted, will feel they've got their wish. And there'll be a constituency that probably in the middle and will shrug their shoulders and get on with what they were doing anyway. So that tends to be the way it works in my experience. But will they have been consulted? Yes, absolutely. I go back to even the Daniel Farker one. Stuart Webber spent that week speaking to Grant Hanley, speaking to senior pros before making that decision. It always happens. It's inevitable. Sporting directors should be speaking to senior pros about the dressing room, about the dynamic, about even their response to how a coach is going. And, you know, my feeling, this is just my feeling, I felt Johannes communicated very well, but I think at points, in answers he could be quite clinical and maybe not quite showing the if I'm just being purely from a fan basis here, but you know, I'm sure players would read into this as well, it felt quite cold at points, and that's not a criticism. I think sometimes that detachment from emotion is important. You can't just have a head coach who's emotional and reactive all the time. It's not good. But you know, there were points where maybe he answered questions in ways that I felt he could have answered slightly differently. And sometimes these make things different. And sometimes that kind of, clinical edge doesn't necessarily go down with players who tend to prefer someone who's maybe a little bit warmer and a little bit more personable. So these are all elements that, you know, will have come into it. And I've no doubt in my mind that players will have spoken to Ben Napper. Ben Napper will have spoken to players over the last 12 hours and maybe even weeks and days about this decision before it would have been made. And we know how the modern game works. Players have a lot of power. They have a lot of agency to get their own way and to get decision made. So, that's what you'd say. But what I would say as well is there will be footballing reasons, and you can see the red flags that there have been, the huge concerns that have existed all season, the red flags there have been around kind of the out of possession coaching, that inability to get a grasp of the defensive situation, how easy and how routine they've been to score against, and all of these will have been factors. And I'm not sure that on the basis of what we could see, anyone 100% could say that Johannes Hoftorp was definitively going to improve any of those aspects from a footballing perspective. And as a player, if you continue to lose games, if you continue to ship goals, there's going to be concerns. And it certainly looked a good Friday against Portsmouth, Easter Monday at Millwall, Plymouth away, as that comment as reminded others as well. This didn't look like a group of players that had full belief in what Johannes Hoftorp was trying to do, to be honest. That being said, I do think sometimes these things do get overplayed. The lost the dressing room element is always overplayed and cliched, and it's usually a little bit more dynamic and fluid than that. And I think what is probably true is there are different constituencies. The size of those constituencies within the Norwich City dressing room, we'll likely never know. But I'm sure those free camps do very much exist.
Yes, indeed. There's obviously people starting to look to the future and maybe what's going to be next for Norwich City. Who's going to be the appointment? We've got the early odds here from Bonnet. Martin 2-1, O'Neill 3-1, Cooper is 5-1, Wilshere, that's also 5-1, and Sean Dyche, I don't know if that quite fits in with Ben Napper, being honest, at 10-1, so I probably won't be putting my money there. But Bethany saying would Will still be a shout. I saw he was doing some media, I think, yesterday. There's a few people obviously debating Russell Martin and stuff in the comments. Joe saying who would we like to see at the club? So maybe less so names, but I suppose clearly, Paddy, there's probably going to be an identity of an individual that Ben Knappe will want, who's got maybe a certain playing style and sort of fits the vision for him and maybe the players that Norwich have in the building for the longer term. So in terms of those maybe names being thrown about, is there anyone that you're sort of looking at and thinking, yeah, they might be a good fit for Norwich?
To be fair, no, I've not given that a lot of thought in the intervening hour or two since it all kicked off. Suffice to say, I think Connor's touched on it, that this isn't going to be a lurch. We're not going to go new direction and then another new direction in terms of the strategy and developing young talent, both externally by sourcing it in the market, but also internally, you know, the work gone on at academy level, appointments of senior academy figureheads, but also, you know, the actual talent intake. All of that will remain in place. So it's effectively comes down to this search now will be the same search that Ben Knappe embarked on last summer that brought us to Johannes Ovtorup, but finding a better version of Johannes Ovtorup. That's in very simple terms what this is. So a lot of the names that, you know, you've touched on there that maybe were in and around it or speculated to be in and around it last summer, they will probably resurface again. I don't think, from my sense at this stage, there are any names in the frame in terms of the club. I think this process is only getting underway, although it was pointed out to me. And it goes back to Ben Knappe and that succession planning, be it and who replaces Narcis Pelac, be it who replaces XYZ player, he will have shortlists for potential because it looks a bit foolish now in light of the departure. But, you know, when Johannes Torup was first unveiled, I do recall certain individuals who were sat alongside him on the stage at Carr Road that day thinking, we've got this guy. And if we didn't get him now, we wouldn't get him because his trajectory is that he's going to the top. So in that respect, they would have had shortlists in the eventuality that, you know, he'd have done a Farker and he'd have led Norwich back to the promised land, and then he is the hottest of hot property and probably going to get poached. So there will be lists of alternatives, which will now have to come into play. But in terms of actual names, no, I mean, not beyond the ones that we've already mentioned. As always, my experience of these things now, there'll be names that are nowhere near it. Who was talking about Johannes Ovtorup when David Wagner was first dismissed? Likewise, when Wagner was appointed, I don't think there was necessarily too many when it was the sort of Frank Lampard cycle, wasn't it? So, and the Dean Smith before that. So I don't think at this stage, I mean, those odds are, you know, quite laughable, really. Deitch in the running, I mean, that he is so far removed, in my opinion, from a Torup 2.0 than you could probably find, you know. So I think we can put a red line through those type of names. But yeah, Russell Martin's the obvious one, isn't he? You know, if you're looking beyond the Jack Wiltshire who's already in the building, then Russell Martin is, given his Norwich connections, given the style of play, there's a lot of similarities between his Southampton team in the Championship and in terms of how he wants to play. Clearly, he was far more successful at it than Torup because he got Southampton out of the division via the playoffs last summer. We know how it ended up in the Premier League, but, you know, as Daniel Farker proves, maybe he'll go back there as a better head coach for having a couple of bruising tilts at the Premier League when he was with Norwich. Certainly if he's backed as well, far more than he was in terms of the transfer window at Norwich. So, yeah, he's going to be the obvious one. Not spoken directly to Russell Martin, I have to be honest, but, you know, speaking to people who may have, you know, down the links of the chain communicated, and I think maybe it's because he's out of work and he would look at everything, but I don't think the sense is he would be averse to exploring the opportunity. But that's a very long way from Ben Knappe identifying him as a candidate who he wants to bring in, and then it moving on from there. As I say, at this moment in time, it is so premature to really put any names in the frame because we're only a matter of hours from a decision which, certainly at final whistle yesterday, hadn't been, you know, formulated in any way, shape or form. So it is very, very early on in this cycle now to almost anoint a successor, I think. But, you know, inevitably, given his connections to the club previously, given the style of play, there's a lot of alignment I see between a Russell Martin and a Johannes Torup in terms of what would appeal to Ben Knappe. But you know, I wouldn't have thought Russ would be short of offers. I think he did a sit down with Gary Lineker recently, didn't he? I haven't watched it, but I think he'd said he'd already turned down two or three jobs abroad and two or three at home. You know, there's been links to Leicester. Looks like they're going to get rid of Van Nistelrooy. So, you know, it might not simply be a case of that looks like a match made in heaven. Some will disagree and won't want Russell Martin anywhere near it, but others will welcome him if it was to be that. But I think he won't have a lack of offers this summer, purely on the work he did in getting Southampton out of that division. So for me, it's a wait and see at this stage. I think what we do know with clarity is that Jack Wiltshire is in charge for these two games. That won't change. So that almost then leads you to think that, you know, this isn't a process they're going to rush. It's not going to be the new man's getting unveiled before kickoff against Cardiff. Absolutely not. I think it's going to roll on. And, you know, I don't even think it's necessarily something they'll look to do a week or two after the season. If the planets align and obviously the candidate they approach is currently out of work, then it stands to reason. That's a very much easier process to put in place. If it's somebody they identify is already in work and under contract, then of course you're in a situation where you need to agree compensation. So, you know, that's how fluid the situation is. There's certainly, from what I can gather, there's no name in the frame ready to take over. That's far from it. We're now almost embarking on a process. But having said that, you know, Ben Napper will clearly, because it's his job to do it, have names who maybe that were around it this time last summer, who maybe come back round again, and he will add to that, I'm sure, with maybe options who weren't available last summer who are available this summer.
Yeah, Connor, do you sort of have any feelings or, I suppose, desires in terms of who Norwich should go for? Maybe less so a name, but again, a sort of maybe a certain type of manager, a certain style, or someone that's going to fit the club. Is there anybody that's maybe an ideal manager that you could pick?
Yeah, well, I mean, of all kind of the options that are going to be at the top of the betting list, I agree with Pad. You can understand why, even if there weren't the Norwich connections, Russell Martin would be towards the top of that list. Clearly, the fact there is, I guess, adds some weight to it. And you know, I feel, if it was Russell Martin, I think you could understand that there would be a lot of sense and a lot of, you could see how that would fit in with maybe what Ben Napper wants. That being said, as always, there's a whole wide world out there of coaches that Ben Napper might deem a better fit, a closer fit, a more attainable fit. As Paddy says, Russell Martin's been mentioned with Leicester. Obviously, there's a vacancy at Southampton as well. So those two jobs are going to be highly coveted. Well, clearly he was at Southampton, so that is not going to be that one. But that is the level of job that I could see him kind of getting linked with in terms of, obviously, an upper-end championship team. Norwich aren't quite there at the moment. So is there, for me, will on Russell Martin's side to come to Norwich in fifth year in the championship? Could he get a better job? I think he probably could. So that would then maybe probably take me abroad and to look at the potential options there. You know, clearly we're not clued up on enough of those, or if any of those, really, to put anyone forward. But I think clearly what I would say is it would be similar to maybe the names in the frame that we saw last summer. Will Steele was one, Pascal Janssen was another. These, and obviously Johannes Hoftorp ended up getting the job, but it was those three in terms of that final shortlist. All of those were young. Janssen maybe less so, but certainly Steele and Torup young, both like to develop young players, play a certain style of football, both seem to be on an upward trajectory. I think it wouldn't shock me if it was similar kind of profile and strategy to that, really. And clearly then we could look at a host of coaches, you know, and again, I think it's going to be really interesting to see kind of who gets linked and where they go, because there's so many different types of coach and different types of manager, and they've got to pick, yeah, one that fits now, because as we've said all the way along, really, it's, and Paddy said it earlier, I said it earlier as well, Ben Napper can't really afford to get it wrong for his sake, really, because the heat that will come his way will be quite incredible. So yeah, look, I wouldn't be averse to Russell Martin if the planets aligned. I feel it's probably more likely to be someone that we've never heard of, if I'm being completely honest. And you know, clearly Will Steele, I know there'll be maybe a clamour for him as well. He was on Monday Night Football. He's done a good job at Lawn this year. I think I saw he's the second youngest coach in any European domestic league. So that fits with what Norwich City would like as well. But again, is he now at a level that he's unattainable? Possibly. So all of this is really interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see who emerges from the back postseason. Obviously, as we said, Jack Wilshere can't be dismissed as well. So all of those is going to be key. And suddenly we're looking at a new coach as well as potentially an assistant head coach as well with a squad revamp. I think what I would say is I'd like to see somebody who brings some of their own staff with them. If you think about Johannes Hoftorup, he hadn't worked with Glenn Riddershome before, hadn't worked with Jack Wilshere before, hadn't worked with Nick Stanley before, Tony Roberts before. It would be nice to see somebody arrive who had a group of staff that even if it's one or two, doesn't need to be, you know, we don't need to be talking about performance analysts and 13, 14 different staff members, because that then becomes difficult when they get sacked. But at least comes in with a number two that they know and that is aligned on their way of playing and understands it inside out. That to me feels quite imperative. I'd also like to see someone who's got managerial experience. I think that would be important at some level. It doesn't have to be necessarily championship level, but I think a decent sort of managerial CV would be good, maybe with a higher body of games than what we saw Johannes Hoftorup arrive with.
Yeah, Bonnet saying, would we expect to see an announcement soon, I suppose, day or two after Cardiff game or reasonable ETA? I mean, clearly, obviously, behind the scenes, Paddy, they obviously have lists of managers in case of these scenarios arrive. You know, we've seen it in the past where maybe that's pivoted. You know, I think clearly under Weber, you know, Dean Smith's availability suddenly coming up and they obviously pivoted in that direction going for him. But with Napper, it probably feels like he's probably identified someone in the background, but there's probably no need to maybe bring them in straight away. Or do you think that's going to be a quick decision to be made as soon as that whistle's blown against Cardiff?
Yeah, no, sort of following on what I said just in the previous answer, I didn't get a sense, but these things, that, like you said, that's a very good example of the Dean Smith thing. You know, when Farker was sacked on the Saturday night at Brentford, Dean Smith's not in the running, but then he gets sacked himself. I think I'm right saying it was on the Sunday at Aston Villa, and then Monday, I think the car was pointed to the Midlands and they were off to meet Dean Smith. So these things are very fluid. But no, the way it was communicated to me, I don't think they're looking to do it as quick as immediately after Cardiff. I think, as I say, I think the reality is a lot of the recruitment work is Ben Napper, it's Lee Dunn, it's the recruitment types. It exists, obviously, in tandem with a head coach, but it's not actually required that the head coach is in place ultimately, because as we keep harping on about, this model is based on a permanent core to a football club who was setting the strategy, and particularly in recruitment, identifying players to fit that strategy, and then the head coach is brought in who fits that strategy and get most out of the playing talent at his disposal. So for those reasons, I don't think they'll look at it and think we need somebody in place straight off the back of Cardiff because we've got a big summer ahead. I think that summer will take care of itself in large part. But by the same token, you know, you don't want uncertainty rolling on into May. So you'd like to think, you know, the swiftness of, I mean, I'm trying to think now, lads, you help me out here. How soon after Wagner was dismissed was Torup in the building? Wasn't that long?
They had to wait
for
the end of the Danish season, didn't they? Which was made it a little bit longer, didn't it? And there was obviously work permit issues that needed to be sorted. Exactly. But it was pretty swift, wasn't it? I think it was end of May, I've got in my head.
Which, yeah, I think it was. Yeah, but even that, and we know that process had started way back. You know, you're talking turn of that year, certainly March, it accelerated in the background between, you know, Napper and Torup's camp. And even that, even though that long tail to this process, it wasn't concluded much before the start of June. So, you know, it's not beyond the realms that we get into June, but I think you'd like to think that what this decision today, the swiftness of it, does give them that head start now. You know, there's still effectively, 2 weeks left of the actual current season. Jack Wilshere and the team around him now will deal with these two games, and that maybe then affords Ben Napper the opportunity to accelerate those plans to a point where maybe when we get the other side of Cardiff, you know, you're at maybe shortlist stages / interviews stages. Of course, there's the American dimension. Any decision of this nature will have to fully bring them into the process. That's another logistical hurdle they have to clear. So, but as has been proven in the last 24 hours, that certainly didn't hold up the decision to dismiss Johannes and Glenn. So, yeah, for me, not immediately off the back of Cardiff, unless, of course, events change in the next fortnight. But certainly you'd hope, by the time we get to the end of May, that the new head coach is in place, unveiled, and on we go.
Can I jump in there, Adam? Just to add that I think clearly by acting now, and it's always the case in the summer, you have a better pool of head coaches in theory to choose from than if you were to make the decision 10 games into a new campaign, which I'm sure is in their thinking as well, where the likes of, let's use Russell Martin as an example, not because of where he is, but theoretically there's somebody who is available this summer that probably 10 games into next season won't be. And that's clearly the case. And also you're more dictated and fixed by a league position. Whereas, you know, if you're 10 games in and you're 20, if that requires a very different head coach to being in the summer and there being a little bit more of a blank canvas. And also I'd highlight as well, which I think Paddy referenced, and it's something I think that the Lee Dunn mentioned in his chat with Paddy a while ago, which was last summer they had to learn very quickly the way Johannes liked to play, the type of player that he wanted. So it's the knock-on of this now as well, ahead of a key summer window. They are going to have to get a new guy in. And it's then about the analysis guys, the recruitment guys, putting together a really clear profile of the type of player that they like to have, the type of play, football they want to play, and what's needed to execute it. And that's going to be key as well, clearly, heading into the summer. And it makes, and also for new signings as well, right? Because if you're a player and you're being pitched to by a club and they don't have a head coach, you're probably more likely to go to a club that does have one, and you know there's a bit of stability and you kind of know what the project is going to be. So all of that stuff, I think, is probably relevant in terms of timing, but it also kind of maybe exposes the level of work that they've got to do heading into the summer.
Yeah, I still see comments absolutely flooding through. We'll answer a few more, but we'll be going for an hour and 10 minutes. So let's see what we've got here. Grumpy Grand.
My dog's got a vet appointment at 2. So if we could,
There we go. You're right, Connor. It's got a huge player out. That means the new manager will be in the same position next season, trying to build his own team within two windows. Will that work? So I suppose in terms of the summer and moving forward with a new manager, will they get given time, I suppose? Is there a pressure from minute one to get Norwich competing? Because clearly with Torp, you know, it was kind of transitional season. This season's going to be a little bit more difficult, and next season's where we'll kick on. But where's maybe the mark, I suppose, with whoever they decide to go down?
Is that for me, Adam? Sorry, or Pad? Or
whoever wants to answer it. Whoever wants to answer
it. Go on, Pad, you take that.
Well, I mean, I did sort of reference it. My fear now is that, you know, this was a Johannes and Glenn coming. Johannes signs a 3-year deal. He's said it. There was a forum event before the season started about the aims and almost stagger it. Glenn sat down with us out in, I'll lose track which country we was in, but in the summer for the Pinkham podcast, and talked about year one aim, year two aim, year three aim, but ultimately we're both on the same page. It was to get to the Premier League in that 3-year time fashion. More recently, Johannes had offered me that bet. If you remember, that was that pre-match very recently, you know, if I was willing to accept that difficult moments this season, but, you know, this squad will be potentially championship title ready in the next season or two. Would you take it? I said, if I was a Norwich fan, I probably would. But the fact is now he's gone. There's a big summer ahead of change. And now there's an even bigger summer of head of change in terms of the head coach. So does that mean we're resetting the clock and, you know, we start again from year one? I'd hope not, but you can't rule it out, because now they're going to have to put a different band together with a different orchestrator and orchestra in many places. So it's probably unrealistic to think that all comes together in the speed that it's going to take for them to be immediately hit the ground running next season. It can happen, of course, but, you know, you look at the time Barker needed, you know, you look at the time, you know, one or two other examples around the Championship have needed. It feels like it's a big call now to make this decision and still stick to the next season or two. This club are back in the Premier League. But, you know, the reality is they didn't feel Johannes had proven himself that he could be the person to lead that charge. So you have to make the decision one way or the other, and they've decided to make that break. And, you know, it's a big call. And that will only play out in time. We will only know, in terms of the bigger picture, the Premier League picture, if this proves to be the right call, or if it's, you know, if it's almost more holding pattern and dare one say it, more transition. Not that we're going to be using the word transition hopefully too much next season, but. And you might argue, you know, we're talking about the candidacy credentials of Jack Wiltshire and maybe the inexperience factor, but he is a link to what the good elements that have been put in place this season. And, you know, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. There have been, over the entirety, some shoots, not enough, clearly. And unfortunately, recently, it's regressed quite alarmingly. But nevertheless, the young players, the exposure to young players, the good elements of the style of play, plenty of bad elements, but enough that somebody could pick up and run with. Well, Jack Wiltshire has been in alongside, you know, Torup and Riddersone for these past few months. At least the adaptation phase would be short-circuited to a degree with Jack Wiltshire, but whether that's enough of itself to, you know, hand him the baton, I don't know. But my fear is that if it isn't him and they go external, you know, unless it's maybe a more experienced head coach, then to feel that it could come together with a very different group of players. And to be fair, whoever comes in externally, all of these players, whether they've been here or they're coming in this summer, they're new players. So that process of that group of players getting to know a new head coach and vice versa, to come together in the time it would take for them to be realistic top six contenders, I don't see it. So, you know, maybe we're set for another season of building. But, you know, there's nothing to say that they wouldn't have been that again next season, albeit maybe a bit closer to the top six. You know, that's the reality. What we're dealing with here is the future. Nobody can predict it. It's down to Ben Napper to try and make as many informed decisions as he can to shape that future so that it gets Norwich to the point where Attanasio downwards all hope that this club can go, which is back to the Premier League. But that's the beauty, I suppose, of working in this business, is there's absolutely no guarantees that, as there wasn't now, sadly, with appointing Johannes last summer, that they can get back to the Premier League. But, you know, what we've seen is a decisive move to maybe accept hands up. That hasn't worked. Let's try something different in terms of the head coach, not in terms of the strategy.
Yep. And just to round off the show, a friend of yours, Connor, Ben Ambrose, asking, do you think the Eurosec situation contributed, spent all the dosh on a player only not to use him at all? I suppose, would that have any factor, a big outlay in January, obviously, kind of the marquee signing and not really seeing much of him?
Yeah, purely from maybe an optics perspective, potentially. But again, I think that's maybe one that Napa is getting a bit more flat for than Torup, to be honest, because he can't pick a player that's not fit and available. And clearly that hasn't been the case. And none of us know. Probably Jack Wilshere doesn't know, whoever the next head coach is going to know how good or otherwise Jurasek might be next season. So, yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic, isn't it, I guess. And I don't think it's one, unless he physically went to Ben Napper and maybe made a case, although I'm not sure he'd be in a position to do that given his body of work at Norwich City so far. I don't really think it's one that would have come into consideration. It would have been football. It would have been obviously the senior leadership group who had a say in that as well. And yeah, clearly that's got us to where we are today with Johannes Otterup no longer being Norwich City's head coach.
Yeah, I think Jeff has actually made quite a good point here. Sunderland appoint Reggie Labrie in the summer, who are firmly in the playoff places. Let's hope we can replicate that, because obviously you look at the good work that was done kind of last season and putting the foundations, I suppose, in place for those younger group. And then he's kind of just took it on and took it to another level. And albeit, you know, they've tanked a little bit in recent weeks, they're still going to be in the playoffs. So clearly that's where Norwich's aims and aspirations will be for next season. So let's hope whoever they appoint in this summer can replicate that and try and move Norwich forward. I think that probably rounds us off. We've been going for an hour and 15. So, of course, we thank you for all your comments and communications. I think we've got over 4,000 of you watching us live. So, you know, thanks for joining us on this lunchtime for this emergency pod. Of course, we'll have all the fallout from this and all what's coming ahead in the summer over on the Pinken channel. So you can take out a subscription to the Pinken Plus, $2.99 a month. You know, well worth checking that out for you. Clearly going to be a busy summer of players arriving, a new manager. We've got all the pre-season stuff. So a good time to come and join us over on that community. Of course, if you're not subscribed to the Pinken YouTube channel, then drop us a subscribe down below. Of course, if you're watching this on repeat, then let us know in the comment section your reaction to this situation, who you want to see Norwich appoint and so on. And of course, we'll be all across it on socials as well. We want to be hearing who you want to see in the dugout for next season. So thanks for joining us this lunchtime. And hopefully we won't be bringing you another one of these too soon, because we'll get back to hopefully another good season for Norwich City next year.